At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Saul recognizes David is blessed, that God has a plan for him. But notice this too. David didn't claim that he had a special gift of sneaking. He's done it twice now. The first time, Saul's awake, sneaks up on him enough to cut his coat. This time he sneaks into the camp. Right next to his head is the spear and jug, and he takes it. He then says, well, God's given me the gift of sneakiness. And he to use that gift to promote himself, take care of Saul. He recognized that it was God. Matter of fact, I think it's verse 12. It says, and God put them to sleep. You know what else I see that? Adam and Eve. When God puts you asleep, you sleep. I wish he'd do that with me once in a while, just get a good night. Anyway, but he doesn't say, well, this is my gift. You don't understand, Saul. You're not making room for my gift, so I got to oppose you. He recognized that his gift is submissive to Saul's authority for now. Sometimes temptation is not of spiritual nature. Sometimes it comes from your best friend. Who was the instrument of temptation for David to kill Saul? His own nephew. Oh, man, this is your... I know you're the guy, man. This is your... God's got us in here. This is your chance. Promote yourself. Well, that sort of makes sense. You're right. I am sort of gifted. And God told me I'm going to be the next king, so... See, we tend to think that temptation only comes from R-rated movies or something, or your unsaved friends. Remember, it was Peter that spoke against Christ's destiny. Sometimes, in the midst of the trial even, when it's difficult, when you're on the run, living in the wilderness, and you need some support, some help, some encouragement, sometimes. Well, you know, if I was married to him, I'd just leave. Oh. Well, you know what you need to tell that boss of yours? Take this job and say goodbye. Some of us that are old enough know where that goes. Sometimes you can get bad advice from godly people. It's more important that you heed God's word than any person's advice. That includes the pastors. David knew what God's word says about authority. It didn't matter the circumstances. It didn't matter that God told him he was going to be that someday. He knew what God's word said about such things. He understood this: you can't do wrong to get justice. Did Saul deserve if he got a spear in the throat? You bet he did, but so do I. Doing wrong for the right reason is still wrong. And I use this example. If I lived in Nazi Germany back in the 40s or the late 30s, and I was hiding Hebrews in my secret closet, my secret room, and the Nazis came and knocked on the door, we hear you're hiding Jews. You know what I would do? I would lie. It's still sin. Why? Because I'm not strong enough to watch them haul off a four-year-old kid knowing what's going to happen to him. I'm not that strong. I'm not. The wrong thing, for maybe the right reason, is still the wrong thing. David understood, yeah, this guy is bad for Israel. He's corrupt, he's wicked, but I can't do the wrong thing for the right reason. When he gives grace, if I look at Saul's response, it is convicting. New Testament idea, he'll put ashes on his head. When you do the right thing and give grace, grace means this: they didn't do anything to earn your kindness. They did the opposite. When you give grace to those who are harming you, it's convicting. I suggest that's why David took the spear in the canteen. Let me demonstrate to you, Saul, what grace is. You don't deserve my kindness. You don't deserve my respect. And he calls him, David calls him Lord, Master, King, Your Majesty, whatever term you want to use there. Grace will convict when you demonstrate it even. That's something else I looked at this, is resist temptation and tribulation, because that's when it's easy. When things are good, it's not, you know, maybe. But when you're weak, when you've been running around the wilderness for time after, and every time you go somewhere, somebody turns you in. The people in this area, how did Saul know he was there? Somebody tells on him. What did I do to you? I'm just out here in the wilderness. I'm not even in your city, and you all go tell my enemies where I am. You give fodder to my enemies. You're frustrated. You'd like to call them a few choice names. That's when temptation comes, okay? Like teenagers, young people, listen to me. When you feel that your parents have unjustly acted towards you, you will have that temptation to rebel. When you think it's unfair, when all your friends get to, when this happens, you will have the temptation to rebel. And some good friend might even text you and say, why don't you sneak out of the house? Rebel back to your friend on text, like Jesus did Peter. Get behind me, Satan. See if they keep texting you. David understood that God's blessings are not for our promotion. See, Abishai thought God putting them all to sleep so David can get promoted. But David, see, grabs hold of it and uses it as a demonstration of grace. Too often we think God's blessings is for us. I'll guarantee you it ain't. It's so that God would receive the glory. That's really what it's about. And I think David does that in this case. One of the most, I'll guess, natural, dangerous tendencies that Christians we have is to ask for God's help, and then when he gives help, God, we just pray, guys, I need a job. I have something. We got to pay the bills. God gives you the job. Well, I went in there and I interviewed so well, and they saw my abilities and my job, and they just thought I was amazing. I'm sure you've never done that. But we have to be careful. When God does something on behalf, you better give him the glory. David understands that. Anyway, David understood this, that following God's principles, we'll call them kingdom principles in the New Testament time, really is what brings a true victory. He understood, even though Jesus hasn't taught love yet at David's time, taught love your enemies and pray for those who curse you, David understood that he had to show grace and love to an enemy anyway. He understood that God's the rewarder when a man is righteous and faithful. God does it, not men. He understood these principles, that if you follow them, despite the situation, that's how you truly win. He recognizes God's providence even in trial. That is a lot harder than what it sounds like. when the doctor says you're losing your eyesight? Do you see God's providence or do you see attack of the enemy? David's enemy was attacking him. But David saw as God's hand in it. And Abishai understood that God's hand was in it. He just turned around and used it the wrong way. Do you recognize the trial, the struggle, the difficulty is part of God's plan?
Or do you believe you're supposed to have your best life now? I'll leave that. Those of you who don't understand what I mean.
Okay. The other thing, this is very, very, very hard. When God says, wait. How long has it been since Samuel walked up, who's now dead, walked up and anointed David and says, you're the next king? 2x now, at least, we've seen David could make that happen by killing Saul. But he recognized God's timing is always the best timing. But sometimes it's really hard to wait. When you're going through those difficult times and you've had it as much as you think you can stand, just another, I can't take another day. I don't know where I'm going from here. Wait a minute. God's still in charge. His timing is still there. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've been fighting this illness for 5 years. You don't understand. I've been in this legal court case for 3 years. You don't understand. I've been stuck with him for 15 years. Really? Does God not know that? Wait a minute. Did God not give you him to start with? David trusted God to place him on the throne in God's timing, in God's way. Matter of fact, later we find out in the story when David finds out someone else took or claims to have taken Saul's life, what's David's response? He has the guy killed. So you thought you could make God's timing come. I think that's what David responds to, not just to the fact, okay. David wouldn't allow someone else to promote him. It is hard. Josh, you're amazing. You got it all together. Come on, I want to put you up here on the pedestal. Come on, you're incredible. Let's go. You're the basketball star. You're the team leader. Let me put you up on the shoulders. That's hard to resist. It's true. That's hard to resist. When you walk at the door and you're standing there and they come, Pastor, man, that's an amazing sermon. You're incredible. You preach so good. You better chop the legs out from underneath that pedestal in a hurry. Pride comes before the fall. Pride comes before a very long fall. See, David's got a guy surrounded by people who see his potential, know what he can be, hear what God says to him, and they keep trying to push him up on the top of the pedestal, and David goes, uh-uh. He knew there was danger in that. In fact, that's how he got here. You ready? Saul killed his thousands, David his. Yeah, somebody put him up on a pedestal, and that made Saul want to knock him off. David would not allow someone else to promote him. That is God's job. How many times have you taken... And promote can be different things for you. You want a husband. You want a wife. How many times have you promoted yourself? Trust me, you do that in the wrong timing in your own will, you'll regret it. The car you wanted. It's not. You haven't got the cash. I'm going to gamble on my tomorrow because I really don't think God can do it, so I'll put it on a different master called MasterCard or whatever. By the way, that's what debt is. Most debt is not trusting in God. You don't think he'll give you the things you need. You got to go get them yourself on credit on something else. I'm not going to peddle. David understood what it was like to operate under principles. You and I can look at David's life and realize when he forgot the principles. You'll see the points as we journey it continually along the way that you and see David stops operating by the principles of the kingdom and starts operating in human wisdom and human frailty. And so you got a lot of the Psalms going,
I'm sorry.
You don't see Saul writing any of those, though. The end of this, we'll read at the end of it what Saul says. He tells, David tells him to come over, somebody to come over and get the sword, okay, or the spear. I'm trying to find it here. Here you go. David, may the Lord bless you. We read that. And great things triumph over you. And David goes on his way. But in verse 21, Saul said, I have sinned. Come back, David. Come on home, my son. Because you considered my life precious to this day, I will try not to harm you again. Is that repentance? Oh, yeah, sure. He had a confession. He came down front at the altar call. But what David's figured out about Saul, words are cheap. See, repentance is a change in action. It's a change in your way of thinking. Saul has a momentary emotional thing when he recognizes that somebody stood right next to him with a spear in his hand. Oh, I could be dead, and has an emotional response to almost dying. If you've ever been in a car, and you come along and that you just avoid the accident, and your heart's going like this. Where's my kids? I just want to hug them. Surviving something like that will create the emotional response. But emotional response to understanding that someone's given you grace ain't the same as letting him be king. Yeah, come on back. Oh, you can come back. I'm not giving up my throne. Oh, is anybody else getting this besides me? Yes, I have sinned, Lord. Forgive me. It's awful. I love grace. Oh, you, Lord? No, thanks. We do it all the time. God, I'm sorry that. I'm sorry that. And God says, good, do it my way. But you don't understand that. God, mom and dad weren't fair when they did that. I'm sorry that I badmouthed back, but come on. Submit to them when they're wrong? You got to be kidding. I'm going to throw a side trail in. Where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Please notice the order. It is not where your heart is, there is your treasure. That's the way most of us think of it. No, follow me. The thing you treasure, the thing you invest in, has your heart. If your parents are that bad, invest in them and see what your heart does. Treasure your parents, treasure your wife, treasure your job, treasure the old car you have. And there your heart will be. Watch. You got the old car. You've been driving around the car for 20 years, 10, whatever it is. It finally dies. You can't do anything about it. You got to go buy a new one. Now the old car you wash once a year. You buy the new one and you wash it once a week. Why? Because you've now invested in it. Your heart's now in it. It's not my heart is for, therefore I invest in it. It's that thing I invest in my heart is after. And David was a man after. See, we wait for, when I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. When I pray, I feel like they're hitting the ceiling. Worship just doesn't do anything for me. That ain't what it says. Invest in worship. Invest in reading your Bible. Invest in praying, and there your heart will follow. You invest in the principles of the kingdom, the way God does things. After a while, you'll want to do them. See, we think for some reason that you have to want to. Now, I've been buying my wife flowers pretty much, for the most part, once a month for 30-something years. Sometimes, because I do. Hey, there's flower bunny. Am I all googly like I was when we were first dating or first married and it was given into her and all this? No.
But I've invested. I can't walk by the flowers at Costco without thinking, oh, I wonder if Kim still has flowers. I don't get the eebie-jeebies. I don't get all pitter-pattery that waits for her to walk in the room. Those things. It's just, that's what I want to do now because I did it. If you start doing the things of God, this is just on my heart. Young people, talk about your parents with honor on your lips and see what the honor you'll find in your heart. Honor your parents with your lips. That means talking. When everybody else is dissing, well, my parents won't let me. You know what you say? You know what? Oh, you know my dad? You know what I really love about my dad is? You know what I really appreciate? From one, they'll stop dissing because they want you to join them and you're not doing that. Watch how it changes your heart. You're struggling with your spouse. You don't even know if you like them anymore. Change the way you talk and think about them and see what happens. Don't wait for God to zap you with a bolt of lightning and all of a sudden you feel it's all obliterated or whatever you want to call it over them. And now you... No. Whoa. Submit to him first. I don't care if he's a jerk. I don't care if he's a Saul. Submit to him first. Invest in that and watch where your heart goes. David spent these hours out in the sheep field watching sheep. Long before, knowing and understanding the principles of God well before Saul ever came along. He was totally content after being anointed, going back to tending sheep. He understood God's timing before. If you will learn to operate under the principles of the kingdom, invest in the things that God said. When your enemy is laying right in front of you, you won't strike them. How do you love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you? Practice. David was telling other people how they should respond to God's anointed man being a bad guy. Operate on the principles of the kingdom. Then those hours of temptation when you're weak, you will default to those principles. And continually invest in those things that God calls you to do and watch your heart follow. Don't wait for the lead of your heart. I was going to end there, but I got to pause. Many people think that's religion. Doing something out of duty. No, it's not. It's wisdom. I thank God for a military that does things out of duty. When the colonel, when the captain says, march that post, they march that post. Because the day that they're asleep, somebody walks into the camp. I'm glad for duty. I'm glad for the grandfather, mine, who stuck with grandma, or vice versa. I'm thankful, and you are too, for grandpa, the guy who went to work every day over and over and over and over because it was his job. It was his duty to take care of his family. So you lived in a decent home with a dad you loved. I know you loved your dad, but understanding that duty, don't wait for heart. Gosh, I know people aren't going to like this. Don't. Walk out because it's the right thing to do. Then your heart comes along. After he devoted, he made a commitment. Grandpa made a commitment to grandma on that day. And if you sit on and talk, trials and ups and downs and the same difficulties we have today. But here they are at 83, holding hands. Well, holding a hand because the other one's with a cane. With a tennis ball in the bottom. Walking to the park, and we say, oh, how cute. How do you think they got there? Because it was always based on feelings? I don't know why God's got me on this, but on relationships today. Was it feelings that got them there? Or commitment? See, we like the word commitment, but you don't have commitment without duty. There's certain obligations you have when you make a commitment. And then God then takes care of the heart simply because you're obedient to what let your yes be yes and your no be no. Keep your word. Why? God keeps his word. Therefore, when you say, I do, that also means I will. Be a person of principle. Act on those principles, whether you feel like it or not. And you'll find in those hours of tribulation, you'll have overcome the temptation as well. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you today to put your blessing upon all in this place today. What I mean by blessing is your presence. As we walk from here today, let us not walk out of this beautiful building today, we have on the inside at least, walk out of that building and say, that was nice, and go on. Two things, God, help us. Help us to recognize your daily presence as we walk and as we go, as we do. Don't let us disregard your providence and your presence as we walk out this door. Second, God, as we head in tomorrow, let it remind us of this. No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. As we walk into Memorial Day, let us recognize the great sacrifice that your word even says is the greatest thing a person can do. Father, I pray for the widows, the orphans today, that for them their heart is heavy as they come into this week and remembering their loved one who sacrificed. God, help them, I pray, put their mind and hearts on you, that you would be their comfort in this short time of sorrow, that you then might be glorified even in the loss of a loved one. For you are the Almighty God, and not a sparrow falls to the ground without your knowledge or your sovereign control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.